Hello, I'm Raffaele Lupotto, responsible for investor relations at Piaggio. First of all, I would like to thank you all for joining us today to analyze Piaggio Group's first quarter of 2017 financial results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Group Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Simone Montanari, Piaggio Group Chief Financial Officer. During today's conference call, we will use the presentation that you can download from our website. As usual, I remind you that during today's conference call, we may use forward-looking statements that are subject to risks that can cause actual results to be materially different. After the presentation, we will be available to answer the question you may have. And now I'm glad to hand over the conference call to Mr. Simone Montanari.
Hello everyone and good afternoon. I start the conference call giving you a snapshot of the main demand trends. As I highlighted on page 3, even if we had to face a weak start to the year in most of Piaggio key reference markets, we saw an encouraging trend across the quarter that bodes well for the remaining part of the year. As expected, in Europe we experienced a slow start to the year, with demand in January and February that was still compensating for the strong volume growth of the latter part of 2016. Growth that, as you probably may remind, was boosted by the need to reduce or zero the stock of vehicles with Euro 2 engines, Euro 3 engines, to be compliant with the new European regulation. Starting from March, the trend reverted to positive in all major markets, confirming that the replacement cycle is well in place. In Asia, the third quarter was mirroring the trend of the last year. Vietnam kept growing mid-single digit, Indonesia kept trending down, while other countries in the area showed mixed but overall positive market dynamics. In India, as stated during last conference call, the demonetization effect was still taking its toll, namely in the light commercial vehicle passenger segment, while its impact eased gradually in other CV segments as well as in the scooter market. Moving now to page 4, we have a snapshot of Piaggio performance. I would like to highlight that both in two-wheel and Western countries, and in Piaggio and in India, Piaggio outstripped market trends. Notably, in Western countries, the group strengthened its positioning with a strong market share gain in scooters, 26.4%, that is plus 1.9 percentage point versus previous year, and grew in North America against a negative market trend. Vespa was, as usual, the bright spot, with volumes and revenues up close to 20%. In India, although hit by demonetization of the market, Piaggio gained market share in the light commercial vehicle segment and continued enjoying from the successful launch of the Aprilia SR in the two-wheeler market, as well as from resilient sales of Vespa, limiting the impact on the top line. Asia, by contrast, remained on a different path with the good performance of Thailand, China and Indonesia, still unable to counterbalance the negative sales trend in Vietnam. Noteworthy again, the good performance of Vespa that posted positive revenue trends across the board, confirming the brand potential in this area. Let's move now to page 5 to have a quick summary of Piaggio financial performance. Piaggio achieved what we believe are strong results against market demand headwinds that led the group to reach a profitability peak. In particular, EBITDA grew around 4 million up to 41 million euro with the margin EBITDA margin uplift of 1.2 percentage points that pushed the ratio on net sales up to 13.3%. That is the best margin on revenues to date. It is important in our position to notice that this result had been driven by a significant improvement of the gross margin profitability that grew again by 4 million up to 95 million euro with a significant uplift of the ratio on net sales that reached 30.8%. That is the best first quarter performance to date. At the same time, we have been able to mitigate the seasonal cash absorption by 15 million euro compared to the cash flow of the first quarter 2016, pushing the net debt well below the first quarter, the 31st of March 2016. Let's move now to page 6 to have an in-depth analysis of the volume trend. Overall volumes were in line with prior year. The result stemmed from diverging dynamic. Two-wheeler overall grew by 10%, that means 8,000 units, on the back of the strong relative performance in Western countries and ongoing good momentum in India, more than offsetting the weak performance in Asia, namely Vietnam, while commercial vehicles declined by 17%, mainly hit by the Indian demonetization and the weak exports as discussed earlier. In more detail, two-wheeler Western countries we grew mainly in Italy, in Germany, the Netherlands, France and US, always outstripping market trends. In Asia, the decline was driven by Vietnam. By contrast, our volumes surged around 70% in some other countries of the Asia-Pacific, and in particular in Thailand and in China. Moving to page 7, we can have a look on the revenue trend by business. As a whole, we ended up with revenue slightly up versus prior year, with two-wheeler overall up by 5%, that means up 11 million, and commercial vehicles down by 9%, that is down 9 million. As you can notice, the sound price policy allowed Piaggio to mitigate the effect of volume decline both in Asia and in commercial vehicles, while the diluted effect in two-wheeler India and in two-wheeler Western countries stemmed exclusively from the mixed effect of product recently launched. To give you some more color and details on our net revenues trend, I can add that in two-wheeler Western countries, the best performance came from Italy, the Netherlands and US, all up double digits. In Asia, Thailand posted the best performance with revenue surging around 90%. This result is particularly important because the recent entrance in the premium motorcycle market with a premium Moto Guzzi should drive growth acceleration also going forward. By contrast, Vietnam continued to be a drag with revenues down double digit. Let's move now to page 8. To have a look at the breakdown of revenues by product, I would like to underline again the strong performance of Vespa among the scooters and Vespa brand. In fact, Vespa revenues grew by 20% in Western countries, with double-digit growth of 50cc and over 50cc in almost all countries. Similarly, in Asia, Vespa posted a robust revenue growth, around 10%, even in a highly competitive market as Vietnam. These trends, coupled with a resilient performance in India despite the demonetization effect, confirm in our view the strong brand potential. In bikes, the growth was mainly driven by Moto Guzzi brand on the back of the double-digit revenue growth of the new range, namely V7, V9 and California. Moving to page 9, we can have a look at the EBITDA bridge. As said before, we achieved a record EBITDA result primarily on the back of the very positive performance at the gross margin level. In particular, cash gross margin grew by 1.2 percentage points above prior year, leading to a 3.5 million contribution of positive effect on the bridge of the EBITDA. In the meantime, we have been able to contain the operating expenses despite heightened marketing spending. Overall, these results testify our ability to sustain a firm price policy discipline and to deliver efficiencies throughout the year. Moving to page 10, we can have a quick view on the improvement on the EBITDA and on the net results. In particular, the improvement in the EBITDA fully offset the growth of the D&A growth coming from past year investment, and led net results above prior year, also in terms of ratio to net sales, with an absolute result of 1.5 million euros that has to be compared to the 1.3 of last year. To sum up, moving to page 11, we may summarize the profit and loss figures that we just discussed and went through. Net sales revenue grew from 307 million up to 309, up 0.7% or minus 0.6 if I exclude forex effect, namely Indonesian rupee and some US dollar. Gross margin grew from 29.6 up to 30.8%, a relevant and significant plus 1.2 percentage points. The EBITDA margin grew from 12.2 up to 13.3%. And the net income absolute result grew from 1.2 up to 1.5 million euro, meaning 17 plus 9% in terms of percentage growth compared to last year. Furthermore, in the bottom down of the slide, you can notice the healthy performance at the cash flow level, which led the net debt 22 million below prior year, 31st of March 2016 compared to 31st of March 2017, with a cash absorption typical of the first quarter of the year that improved by 15 million euro compared to the same period last year. If we move on the next page, we can have a better look at the evolution of the net debt and of its main trends. On page 12, you can see the operating cash flow that was roughly in line with prior year, 30.6 million euro compared to the 30.2 million euro, the change in working capital that was slightly lower than the first quarter 2016, and the CAPEX, capital expenditure, that were lower than prior year, 18.3 million euro compared to the 26.2 million euro last year, on a favorable comparison base, as 2016 was hit by investment for the completion of the new European painting facility. As a result, we ended up with the first quarter 2017 with around 11 million of better free cash flow compared to the same period of last year, which led the net debt 22 million below March 2016 level at an absolute value of 532 million euro.
Yes. So now we are finished with the presentation and we are ready to answer the question you may have. Thank you.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question pressing star followed by one. First question comes from Mrs. Monica Bosio from Banca IMI. Mrs. Bosio, your question, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions, and I would have three questions. The first one is if you can give us some update on the European scooter market in April, especially in Italy and in other markets such as France. The second question is on the guidance for the full year. I know that you don't give any specific guidance, but the consensus now stands at 185 million euro at EBITDA level. I was wondering if you are still confident with this level or if you see some potential move. And just a housekeeping question related to the 2017 figures. Could you please give us an indication for the D&A? And lastly, a question from a strategic standpoint. Do you expect that the demonetization in India could continue to hit in the second quarter, or should we factor a zero impact for the second quarter? And what about Vietnam? I understand that Thailand is going very well. Vietnam is still a very tough market, and if I remember well, it seems that the company is going to appoint someone in charge for the Asian operations, so I was wondering if you have some actions underway in order to restore the situation in Vietnam. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mrs. Bosio. Thanks for your question. I start from the first one, that was the European market in April. We do have a view only on the Italian market. Per market data, as you probably know, yesterday had been released the Italian registration figures that have been affected by three less working days compared to the same period 2016. So they were in absolute terms negative. It was minus 9% compared to last year total market. But if we consider and if we take into account that 3 days missing compared to the last period, the result would have been either the same or positive. What we know is that if I look now at our sell-in data and our sell-out data for April, and now I switch to the whole European market and not only to Italy, they were definitely positive compared to the same period, same month of last year. And so we are pretty confident that the recycle and the replacement cycle in Europe is sound, well in place, and will remain for the whole year. I take this chance to have a comment on your reply to your second question, that was the guidelines for 2017. We believe that in 2017 the group will benefit from a possible acceleration of the growth in European scooter and bikes volume. And this will have an impact mainly in the southern Europe, as we already saw during the first quarter, and this will be additionally boosted in the second half of the year, also considering the application of the new Euro 4 regulation that will have an effect, will impact the 50cc scooter. We believe to be well-positioned, the player, to benefit from this positive market trend that we are expecting for 2017. In India, we have already been hit hard by demonetization on the first quarter, and coming to your third question, we believe that this will last also a little bit on the second quarter, while the comparison will ease on the second half of the year. In Asia-Pacific, volumes we think that have bottomed down in the first quarter 2017, while we will expect a gradual recovery in the second part of the year. Moreover, at the group level, the price mix should also be positive in 2017 compared to last year, confirming our fair price policy. All in all, we believe that the expectation that in this moment I see in the consensus, with an EBITDA of around 185 million, are still achievable.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear. Thank you.
Coming to, I think it was another question that you had, that is DNA.
DNA, yes, correct.
Yes, DNA, I see DNA for the full year definitely higher compared to the one that we had in 2016, and in particular we expect to end up with 120 million euro of DNA in 2017. That has to be compared with the 110 that we had in 2016. So yes, there will be an increase in DNA, and this will be a gap between the EBITDA results and the EBIT result, gap that we already seen in the first quarter. Significantly improvement in the EBITDA, while more or less the same EBIT.
Okay, thank you very much. If I
can add also just one more information on this, this will be a peak coming from the peak of investment that experienced 2011 and 2012, but this peak will go down starting from 2018, coming back to our usual level of DNA that should be in the region from 105, 110 million euro.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
In Vietnam, you are absolutely right. We went through a full reorganization in the area. We went through it in March 2017. We switched the chairman of the area and the CEO of the area. And now the new CEO of the whole Asian region is Mr. Gianluca Fiume, who was the former commercial responsible of the whole European countries. He just took on its responsibility starting from the middle of April, and so we are waiting for him and his results starting now from the second quarter of 2017 on.
Okay, thank you again.
Next question is from Mr. Renato Gargiulo from Intermonte. Mr. Gargiulo, your question, please.
Yes, good afternoon. My first question is on gross margin. Could you elaborate a little bit about what are the main drivers of the strong performance in the first quarter? Is it product mix or are the important drivers? And also looking forward to the next quarter, so what kind of trend can we assume? The second question is on price mix. So you're expecting a positive price mix for the full year. Regarding Europe in particular, do you expect a more positive trend over the next quarter and during the high season? And my last question is on CapEx. Could you please provide an updated guidance for the full year? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gargiulo. I start from the first question, that is the gross margin growth. That performance, I think, has been definitely positive on this level, on gross margin. The improvement has been essentially the result of two main drivers. On one side, as I said before, we benefit from a positive product mix, and in particular from the healthy performance of the Vespa, and of some high-end bikes. On the other side, we also benefited from the efficiency improvement on purchasing, in particular on cost of materials, coupled with a higher utilization of the European plants. Going forward, I expect to keep an improvement on percentage gross margin throughout the year, even if I look at the first quarter results, the positive gap versus prior year will narrow as we expect an increase of raw material costs throughout the year. The price mix, yes, I expect that this will last also during the next quarter and the year, and the reason behind this are mainly two. In European countries is the contribution of bikes compared to scooters, and in particular high-end bikes and motor Guzzi with the new range that we had in 2017. And in Asia, mainly the decrease of Asia hit in particular Piaggio volumes, but not Vespa One. And so this was a positive contribution to the price mix effect. The last question was on CapEx. Our expectation is to end the year with a 100 million euro CapEx for the full year.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions?
Not at the moment.
Okay, we are fully available as usual to give you any additional clarification for any doubt or information you may need, either myself or Mr. Lupotto.
Okay. So if there are no other questions.
There is a question from Mr. Gabriele Gambarova from Banca Akros. I put him through.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. I was wondering if you can give us a flavor of what happened on the Indian market in April, if you can, and if you see any, let's say, lower impact of the demonetization already in April. And then if you could provide me some more details on the volumes in Q1, in Vietnam, Indonesia, I mean, a little bit of granularity on Asia in Q1, again, in terms of volumes.
Thanks, Mr. Gambarova. So I start with the first question, April, India. We do not have still a clear view because we do not have the final data. What I know is that the demonetization is still there. And so I do not expect to see positive results in terms of market in April in India still. But on the other hand, as we already saw in the first quarter, and I think we will saw also in April, the market share for us was saw an improvement. So the market negative, our performance in this negative scenario is positive because we are gaining market share. Coming to your question of having additional information on Asia, two wheels, you know that we do not provide explicit information and this kind of level of details. What I can say is that the decrease of the Asian region is mainly focused on Vietnam. that is decreasing more than 20%, so basically more than the average of the area. On the other hand, as I take, for example, the best performance we had in the area, it came from Thailand, where in terms of volume evolution, we experienced a notably plus 70%. Then positive performance comes from China also, and from other Asian countries, while we see neutral performance in Indonesia and negative in Taiwan due to some regulation issue that in Taiwan were hit basically the last quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Renato Gargiulo from Intermonte. Mr. Gargiulo, your question, please.
Yes, sorry, a very quick one. Still on your strategy in Asia, you were recently talking also about the possible launch of new models, in particular the possibility of a new electric scooter. Could you provide some more details about that? Thank you.
Well, the electric strategy is still ongoing. It has not been communicated up to now. What I know is that we already presented the electric Vespa in the last ECMA, and this new vehicle will be launched with priority on European countries and only in a second step and second phase in the Asian one. So we're not expecting that this will have a significant impact on the volume trend of 2017 of the Asian countries.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Ms. Bosio Monica from Banca IMI. Ms. Bosio, your question, please.
Yes, thank you. Just to follow up, do you disclose or can you give us an idea of the costs for the participation to the GP? Can we imagine something in the region of 15 million euros per year, or I'm completely wrong? And the second question is on the e-bikes. I've seen that the volumes, the revenues from the e-bikes have gone down. I can imagine that maybe there are some problems in terms of commercializations. What do you expect for these revenue lines?
Starting from the first question, we didn't disclose in the past any total operational expense impact on the GP activities, and we will go on with this policy. So there are no information, and we do not disclose information on this. As for your second question, the WeBike, we still believe that the vehicle is right. We are very proud of the product itself. We still believe that the e-bike and the electric vehicle strategy will be a key pillar of our growth strategy, both in the medium term and in the longer term, not only in Europe, but also in Asia. I come back to the question that I had before also from Mr. Gargiulo. I was namely and in particular referring to 2017 sales, where I do not expect in Asia an impact coming from the electric vehicle. While if I look at the medium to long-term future, yes, I expect that there will be. As the WeBike, I think that I could agree with you, that is, again, we are satisfied of the product, we are not satisfied with the commercial approach, and we have something to fix, in particular with the distribution channel.
Okay, thank you.
There are no questions at the moment. I remind you that you can register for your question pressing star followed by one.
Thank you very much. I think that now we can close now the conference call. Thank you. And if you have further questions, as usual, you can call me later or also tomorrow. And so I would like to thank you all for joining us today. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
The conference call is over. Thank you for calling.